each and every one of us has things that we value. Some have more than others, but there is some things in our lives that mean a lot to us. How do we maneuver with those things in our lives? How do we deal with things in those life? In fact, the what I am usually may affect what I may value. I'm a black man in the United States of America. Unfortunately, the things I value may not be valued by a Korean American or a white American. You understand this, okay? So how do we deal with things like that? Because they're valuable to me, but not only may it not be valuable to them, it may go against them. These values are things that we have that we truly focus on, and they mean a lot. So we got to figure out how to deal with it. Now, I hope we realize that as I'm saying, me or they, and we make that the basis of our value. But when we become Christians, we become a new creation. So then how do I deal with the me or they values? Because when I become a Christian, I should just have what's called Christian values. That's the name of this order, my step, Christian values. Unfortunately, that's a term that is thrown around very loosely and dangerously so. I've watched people on TV, I've watched people in my life that would throw this term at me, and at times I would see what they would call Christian value, and I couldn't understand how this thing that they were telling me to value was a Christian's value. It was disturbing sometimes, because some of the things they would do would almost go against what I read in God's Word. Now, let's put this into perspective. Let's try to understand, because this is very important in our walk when we understand how this value works to Christians. Now, first, let's start from the beginning. The journey of life only offers two paths. There may be different versions of those two paths, but there's still only two paths. There's a choice doorway of life and then what that life is going to offer. And it is our choice. Matthew 7:13-14 says, enter through the narrow gate. He starts off with the answer. He's saying, make your life choice the narrow gate. And then he explains, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. What is this gate and road? Well, the gate is the life choice I choose to make. And if you notice, one is wide, I'm talking about the gates, and the other is small. So recognizing the gate, I'm basically either saying I want variety. I want multiple choices. And I know some are going to say, well, who wouldn't? I like to have variety. I like to have choices. Me and my human flesh get bored. So I might want to start one way and then change and do something else, right? And we want that in our lives. We want to change and go different ways and do different things. And hopefully it works out for us. Because that's what the road is going to be once we go through that door. It's broad. In other words, I'm going to be able to do anything I want and change it up and anything I see it. And if I don't like this, change and do whatever I want and strive for that change. However, he gives us the answer to the ending. It leads to destruction. And unfortunately, many are choosing to go through it. Now, the ending is destruction. I don't care how you try to reason it, he already gave the answer. So the other one, yes, it doesn't give a lot of choices. There is not a lot of variety in it. We are very narrow-minded. We only see one way. We should look the same, even though we can be different. That's the small gate. We go into it recognizing we're going to get answer to things, and that's going to be it, and we have to accept that answer. And that life path, that road, it's going to be very narrow. But it ends to life, and it's talking about eternal life. And when he says only few find it, let alone enter in it. It's because we're not looking for it. This is our first problem. I started off with something and I showed you the my and the me, and that's the thing that hurts us. And we're going to see the core answer to how do we deal with my values versus your values, and how does that work in with Christian values? Well, understand about values, the correct value system will be dictated by what you value. Okay? By what you value. It's not you saying this is my value system. Whatever you value will dictate that. He shows in Matthew 6, 19 through 21, watch what he says. He says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Now, did you catch that? He gives you a command here. This is not a suggestion. This is just not some wise word. This is a command from God for what we're not supposed to do. What aren't we supposed to do? Store up treasures on earth. We'll explain what that is. Why? He says, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. In other words, while they're down here, and because they're down here, things in the temporary, what we're in right now, are going to happen to it. They can happen to it, and that value is going to go away. But then he gives the other part of the command, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, here's the answer, there your heart will be also. Now, your heart is going to be your purpose. It's going to be the motivation, as we see many verses that show us this is our life spring. My heart is why I do what I do. Do you understand that? And he's saying, whatever my treasure is, not what I say my treasure is, whatever it is. Now, I'm gonna give you an example using the same thing, how we can use two different treasures on it. Then we'll go through some other things, how it breaks down. Let's say I took my children. If I value my children based on what the world says how I should do it, based on what my children want, based on how I want, and then want God to sign off on it, that's called an earthly treasure. Do you get it? It's based on if my child says he wants to do something, I'm going to support him because I love him. If I want my child to be happy, I'm not going to do anything that God says because I just want him to go what he wants. If I think my child should be a certain thing, what I want him to be, and I don't want him to do this, then I'm going to endorse that because that's what I, all of these are based on everything else but God. That's a treasure on earth, and many have that. You hear them say, I do this because I love my child. Have you heard people say that? But that thing that they're doing is showing what they treasure, things on earth. However, if the only thing that dictates every aspect of everything I do with my child is based on God's word, is based on what God says, period, that's treasures in heaven. Do you get this? What I'm treasuring is the heaven in him, for him, not the earth in him or the flesh for him. Do you understand this? So this is something I'm going to have to sit back and really realize. My purpose, is it based on God's word? What is it focused on? Where is it going into? So I got to look at my purpose. I have to look at what affects me. In other words, how am I affected? Now, to give you a little hint here, and we're going over this in a sermon on and dangers of desires, I'm going to feel stuff when I'm affected by things. Okay. Now, it depends on me if I allow my feelings to dictate what I do next, or if I only do what God says to do next. That's the battle we go through, and that's how we grow. Many want the feeling to be in line with what I do, and we just want God to take over the feeling, and that's not what he does. Do you understand this? Okay, so it says what affects us, we have to realize. What motivates us, we have to take that into consideration as well. What is the thing that makes me do what I do? What is that thing? And unfortunately, we have a lot of worldly things down here, and we're putting ourselves in dangerous place. And who and what means the most to us? These are the things that we're going to see how we treasure. If you answer those, it'll put you in a perspective of if you are treasuring earth or treasuring things of heaven. That's going to be the difference maker. Look at it real close. Be honest. Stop just answering with what you think is the right answer. Sure it to make sure it is the right answer. Here's the problem that's going on today. Christians are supposed to base their value on God. Okay? Unfortunately, what's been happening is Christians are basing God on their values. And this is a huge problem. Some values that are used to form or distort God in our lives are, let's break it down, our family, thing I just used for the kid, okay? The reason why this can distort our thing with God is because when my family then makes a decision that goes against God, what do I do? And many families are going to confront this. And you see it especially today with people wanting to get into different relationships, outside relationships, and they want the families to support it. How do I deal with it? And if I do support it, am I loving them? If I don't support it, because God says not, am I loving them? Remember, God is love. So am I giving God or am I not? My career. Am I really going for what I can get out my career and what my career makes me feel or what God says in my career? History. There are some negatives in history and there are some positives in history. And when I say negatives and positive, once again, that's still all personally based. It's going to be based on how I see it and how I feel. Do you understand that? So how do I deal with history? Am I dealing with it based on God? And the Bible does give us a structure on how to deal with that. Or am I dealing with it based on me? My nation. The Bible is very clear. Do not love the world or anything in the world. Anyone who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. And it said friendship of the world is hatred towards God. It says anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy to God. You see how this balance and this thing doesn't balance out, how things go in the wrong way. All right. So in my nation, am I doing it God's way or am I doing it based on me? My well-being, what is that based on? Is my well-being based on how I feel or what God says? My overall life. So this is where we have to step back, because a lot of people who call themselves Christians are living for themselves. And we're going to touch on that. And the desires of me. That's where it all comes down to. Does it make me happy based on me, or am I living to serve God? So understanding this and seeing the dilemma that we're going through with these values out here, let's see the path to true value. How do I get where I need to be? First of all, denying self allows us to receive true value. Just in that statement and what we're about to read answers what I said earlier. I said I have different values based on me and you have different values based on you. When I become a Christian, what he wants us to realize is the based on me must be gone. Watch what he says. In Matthew 16, 24 through 26, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. Do you catch that? He's saying, if anyone will come after me, anyone, all right, that's anybody who wants to become a Christian, anyone who come after me, he must, he says. He must deny himself. So the denying of self means I matter no more. Do you get it? So now I'll have those things which meant a lot to me, but it's meaningless. And I'll show you where that comes into play. Okay? I can acknowledge it. I can desire it. But that's where it stops. Do you understand? I better not value it, because as we seen earlier, where my treasure is, that's where my purpose is going to be. And this is what's distorting so many Christians' walk, because you're trying to walk for God and. Do you catch that? Trying to walk for God and. And you cannot do that. The Bible makes it very clear. You cannot serve two masters. Okay? So we understand. He says he must deny himself, and watch this, and take up his cross and follow me. Now, our cross represents our problems, our situations, our life. How am I going to deal with it? So I take that up and not only follow him as a follower, but follow him and follow his lead and how to deal with those things. Do you understand that? Because he makes very clear that this is now the path I got to take, because my value is in Christ. Not in me. Now, many pick up their cross and they take a part of it and they do it their way. And that's what the people that you see, they'll have certain aspects in their life that they do that are not in line with God. But they'll give you an excuse of why they still do it. And then they'll do other things that can be in the Bible because it doesn't affect their personal values. That's a person trying to play both sides. They're trying to save their own life based on them. I want both, but you cannot serve two masters. And he makes very clear in verse 25, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it. That's a God promise there. So if I'm living to get the most out of my life based on me or based on the world, I'm going to lose it. You have some billionaires out there, okay? Billionaires out there that have access to everything right now, and they're going to lose it. He made this promise already. And you may look at them and say, well, they're living it up and stuff like that. I'm telling you right now, they're going to lose. Some have already lost it even when they're in it. That's why a lot of them are miserable. But he makes very clear, but whoever loses his life, here's the key, for me, will find it. Not just lose his life, because you have some people that just, you know, they just gave up. That's not what he's talking about. That person's just as bad as a person who wants to save his life, because then you're just not doing it based on you. So it's still based on you. He's saying, who loses his life for me. So in other words, I don't live for me. I live for him. Remember in Romans 12, verse 1, where he says, in the view of God's mercy, I urge you to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Right? So in other words, it's me going, this is my sacrifice, a living sacrifice. I could do this, but I'm only doing what he wants. He's saying, if you do that, you'll get actual life. And he asks the question, what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world? Those are those billionaires, those are people that seem like everything is going on, yet forfeits his soul. How do I forfeit my soul? It's when I make that choice. Do I choose God? And my choice won't be in something I say, because you got some people that are saying one thing and doing others. And the Bible makes very clear, your actions will describe what you really are. Lip service is meaningless. He says, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. So in the same way, you see people doing that same thing. We say I'm a Christian, I worship God, but then I'm married incorrectly or not married incorrectly or in relationships I have no business being in. My money is for me and I'm doing it based on me, not doing what God says. How I raise my kids is not based on God. I do it once again for how I see it. My career and everything's based on my path, not on what God. How I deal with other people is how they make me feel, how I get out of them. Do you see where I'm going with this? Right? I'm trying to gain the whole world, but I'm forfeiting my soul. I'm basically saying I'd rather go to hell. You may say, no, I'm not saying that, but you are. That's why he asked, or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? In other words, we can do nothing. He gave us the choice. He gave us the doorway. So in a nutshell, denying self means for God, I make sure anything I value must be based on God. Based on God only. Do you get that? Based on God only. Now, that means the things that I really like or desire, I keep those in check. And I'll show you what to do with those later. My only thing that I say is of true value that I hold on tight to, that I strive and live for, better be solidly based on God. Not something that means a lot to me and I want God to sign off on it. Do you understand that? Also, for God, I will view everything through faith and not my perceptions. You understand this? So when he says walk by faith, not by sight, it will never be on how I see it. The reason why you see so much division in the church is because we find groups that have the same perception, while the body is supposed to have the same faith. Many people are calling their perception their faith, which means they're walking by sight, not by faith. You see how we're messing things up? And this is why there's such a difference in the church. Look at what some of these groups are doing. They're walking by things that are not in line with God. And some people go, I see where they're coming from. There was an argument during Christmas where you had a group of people who thought they were representing God. And they would say junk like, if you don't say Merry Christmas, this is war against God or war against Christmas. And then you had some Christians who were going, yeah, where in God's word does it have anything to that? What does that have to do with anything in our walk that has value to God? And I'm going to show you how that's even against God at the end of this. But do you see how that works? Now, you'll have some by sight that'll go, I see what you're talking about. Yeah, let's do it. Instead of by faith going, well, where does God say that? How do I deal with that in God? Do you catch that? We also see that for God, I am not to be led by my desires, but by his will. You understand? So my desires are going to be there. That's where those other values, the my value comes in. You understand? Because in the me, I see myself as a male, as a black male, as an American, as an older man, as I can go down the list of things that I see myself in. But in faith, I'm a Christian, period. I'm a Christian, which happens to be. So all those other things are just secondary. Do you understand that? So I don't let those things ever lead me. They come to mind. I could talk about them, but I'm led by his will. At times, it's going to go against my individual desires many times, and I better go with his will. And lastly, for God, I readjust all relationships to fit God's description of relationships. What we're doing today is more and more watching people go, everybody wants to be loved. So we're kind of accepting wrong relationships. And you see it in both cases. Even people that call themselves conservative, they're getting divorced like it's no case, or they're getting in having relationships without getting married when they're not supposed to. And you have people in a liberal community that are endorsing same-sex marriages or multiple marriages or people living together. We just have this stuff. None of it's in line with God. Never has been, nothing close to it. But because we watch how it affects people, once again, there's that site. We're endorsing that. And sometimes the churches are supporting it, not in God, but based on self. So that's the denying of self. You must do this to have true Christian values. Next, we must adjust everything to the correct value. He says in 1 Corinthians 7, 29 through 31. Watch what he says here. And this is such a powerful selection because he gives what we're in and how to deal with it. We'll break it down and we'll talk about it. He says, what I mean, brothers, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives, watch this, should live as if they had none. You have someone going, well, I'm already doing that. No, he doesn't mean it that way, the way you guys are doing it. He's saying the purpose. When you see the as if, he's saying, stop allowing that to be the purpose. We'll explain as we go through all of these. Watch what he says. Those who mourn as if they did not. Right? Those who are happy as if they were not. Those who buy something as if it were not theirs to keep. Those who use the things of the world as if not engrossed in them. Why? For this world in its present form is passing away. Remember the treasures? Earthly treasures are going to be somehow are going to go away one day, and that's going to go. So I can't do these things with the as if. I can't do it based on them. So in other words, my relationship with my wife cannot be based on my wife. It's not to make her happy. It's not to spoil her. It's not to, do you understand? And it's not for me. Do you understand that? Okay, when he says that as if, I then remove the purpose and I fill in God. So my relationship with my wife is fully based on God, right? When you mourn, that's even a loss of something, or even more so important, a loved one. It's one of the hardest pains, and it depends on how close and how much they meant to you, how much you valued them, how you valued them. Some people, it ends their lives. Now, we understand that emotionally, but God gives us spiritually. No, stop that. That feeling's going to be there, but I need you to value people through me. We recognize death. We recognize loss. We understand this is just temporary. That's why we live for eternity. I see those people in my life in eternity. So I live and I focus with them in eternity. A lot of us have this, I enjoy them now, and I want to enjoy them now. So we put more emphasis on the moment now. You know, we have people where families will get together, and we have those get-togethers, and you put more value in those get-togethers than for that family member's eternity. He says something here, those who are happy as if they were not. Is he saying to walk around depressed? No. What tends to happen is when we're happy with something, that dictate what we do next. I've seen people who made this decision. They did something, they enjoyed it. So now let everything be geared towards what I enjoy. Did you catch what just happened? See, there's a verse in the Bible that said, when things are good, when your situation is good, be happy. Nothing wrong with that. He says, however, when things are bad, you must consider that God made both the things that are good and or things that are desirable, if you will, and the things that are undesirable. So my happiness can't be, oh, because I'm happy, I'm blessed. And that's what so many people do. And this is a big core thing why so many people are depressed, because we're frustrated because we based our lives on what and how it made us feel. He was like, He was like, those who are happy as if they were not happy. In other words, I'm not driven by that feeling. He says, those who buy something as if it were not theirs to keep. I see people that spend a ton of money on some sort of device or thing. Me and my wife were talking about jewelry. We were talking about certain things that we look at with people buy. They'll spend thousands upon thousands of dollars on things that are non-functional just to say you have it. Put it up somewhere so we can stare at it. And then if something major happens and somebody steals it and your family puts in trouble, you got where I'm going with this. There are people who have lost their lives because of something they're wearing that's basically meaningless. See, when we buy something, we always look at it as one day I can lose that something. It'll readjust how you buy stuff. Those who use things of the world as if not engrossed in them. This world doesn't dictate how I live. There are things that we enjoy. People hear me. I love gadgets. But a gadget will not dictate what I do next. And I got to be very careful in how I do it. And he makes very clear in the end, for this world in its present form is passing away. So we keep adjusting to this present form. This is what makes this terrible times, because we keep adjusting to this this world, and we're getting further and further away from God. We were supposed to live in this world based on God, no matter how much the world changed. And that doesn't mean to do what the Amish did. Do you understand? There's ways we can adjust, but we still do it as if. Their way was, oh, I'm not going to go, move with progress. Okay, that's fine, but I can't see anything in the Bible that doesn't say it. However, progress will not ever take away what God says. Dude, that's the key. You'll carefully do stuff, looking and going, how's this going to relate, and how does this go with God? You'll be meticulous in everything, and you must understand something. Nothing and no one trumps the value system. Never. When he gives in Matthew 10, 37 to 39, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. This is a warning, because right now, I can assure you there are many people in their selves feeling this emotion of how they are with their family, with their kids. He says, anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. They're embracing it and they're doing it in such a wrong way, and they're writing it off as love for family. And Satan's like, yes. And you feel justified. Did you catch what I said? Feel. You didn't check it. He goes on in verse 38, anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Like he said earlier, remember he said, must deny yourself. So if a person does not take, and how he deals with stuff, if I'm still doing revenge, if I still have attitudes, if I'm still going about things the way the world does, if I'm still dealing with things on my feelings, stuff like, I'm not Christian. And this is why he makes it clear, for whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake, once again, will find it. So we get all that. He's showing you. So there is no excuse. It's God and God only all the time. Now, understand this. If your value system is anything else other than Christ, it makes you an enemy of Christ. Now let that sink in for a minute. You understand that? Because it's like the verse in James where it says, friendship with the world is hatred towards God. I can't say any Christian that I know that their intent is to hate God, but God is warning you, if this thing you do, love the world or partnering with the world, you're hating God, even when that isn't your intent, but that's what you're doing. So what he's showing us here, those people who are not taking that narrow path, that small gate to get into that narrow path, you're now enemies. Philippians 3:18 through 21 gives us this warning, and then it gives us the basis for those who are doing it. It says, For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, he's letting you know, as he's inspired to say this, you got to get this. Many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. He's not talking about worldly people. I think easily we think just because I'm a Christian, I'm automatically this. But he's saying this is how you can identify him. First of all, their destiny is destruction. Remember earlier what I said in the very first passage we read? It said, if you enter through the wide gate and the broad road, your ending will be what? Destruction. So that's the person that you see that tries to have variety and sprinkle some God on it. Watch their lives. Their values will be all over the place. Simply put, you'll hear them ask their values and you could clearly go, so where is that in the word? I told you the thing I had to understand, because I was brought up in our world, our patriotism, and our love for our country. I was taught that until I asked that simple question. How do I fit that in the Bible? I've seen Christians, when you ask the simple question, get frustrated with that question. How dare you ask that? Because their value for their country meant a lot more than what God says. You see the problem? So they rather take this path that I now can pull in things and call it value and God's going to accept it. They're headed for destruction. Watch this. Their God is their stomach. So that who they follow is what they desire. It's that fulfills their appetite. That's what it means when it says their God is their stomach. It's what I desire. So you'll see a lot of things that they value are what they desire, and a lot of things that they don't value is what they don't desire. This is why you see the separation between groups. Look at political groups out there. You have political groups, and both of them have what we may call godly things. Now, if they were doing it all for God, it would be for God. This is what makes them both dangerous. So they'll pick and choose certain things, and they'll stand firm, and they'll die on that hill. However, there are other things of God that they either ignore or even at times go against. You have the liberal group, which they're all for helping the poor. Amen. Praise God. That's what he says. But they're also all for you living in your freedoms, doing what you want despite what God says. Then you have the conservative groups, which pick certain things, you know what I mean, that God says very firm, you know, not killing babies and marriage, which is within God. Amen. Praise God. But that same group, they're dead against the poor. They allow racial bias and prejudice to happen in there. All of this is against God. There's unfair. God says he abhors unfair balances. So you look at these, they're playing games because they're going off of what they like, not what God says. And that's why it says their glory is their shame. The things that we should be ashamed of, because remember, we glorify God. That means everything. It's an all or nothing. When I'm glorifying me, even when some of it happens to be in line with God, it should be stuff I'm ashamed of because it's stuff I'm not doing. Think about that. And why does this happen? Look what he says. Their mind is on earthly things. Why is their mind on earthly things? Because they value earthly things. Their treasure is on earth. But a Christian, as he shows in verse 20, it says, but our citizenship is in heaven. Didn't he say that to us earlier? And we eagerly await a savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. We recognize the things down here, but our focus is when Jesus comes back. The things down here will not dictate what I do next. I'm going to have desires. I'm going to make sure those desires never go against my ultimate value. My Christian value. Now, I must end on something, just like I was talking about earlier, and we were talking about the Christmas thing. Christians, please get this. Simply put, we must devalue in order to correctly value. In fact, no, I'm sorry. This is one thing I want to make sure what we do with our values. Then I'll end it with how we deal with things like Christmas and stuff like that. So I got ahead of myself. So Philippians 3:7-11. What do I do then with those things that mean a lot to me? This is what he shows. He gives a clear answer. He says, but whatever was to my profit, watch this, I now consider loss, but not just consider loss, period, consider loss for the sake of Christ. What does that mean? So in other words, it'll always take a backseat to Christ. It never will be a thing either equal to or above Christ. Right? If Christ says this, that's it, period. If it goes against something I value, that something I value goes away. This is why they become rubbish. That's why he says in verse 8, what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to, and he always shows these things. In other words, when it comes up against this in my life, is this what I do with those things I desire? a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Main reason why a lot of us are not growing because we have too many earthly values that we don't want to let go of. So it hinders us. And we wonder why. Why do I feel stagnant in my spiritual walk? Because you won't let go of these earthly values. He says, I want to know Christ for whose sake I have lost all things. Who for whose sake? Remember, he says, deny yourself. Many have not done that. Call yourself Christian, but you still have these values, these individual values. In fact, you must consider them rubbish that you may gain Christ. Consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. What does that mean? And rubbish actually means human dung. All right. He's saying I have to put it to the lowest of low that, OK, even though I desire it, it's meaningless. It's worthless. Why? To be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. What does he mean by that? Me trying to be good on my own. It's so bad when you get so many people and the first thing they say is I'm a good person. I don't know who told them that because the Bible makes clear. No, I'm not. This is where Christians are confused because you'll hear that term Christian value and you'll see people pull in things which are not in line with God's word. Why? Because they already think this is what I call righteous. So if I do this, then I'm righteous. Right there, they've been deceived and they're deceiving many with that comment because they're trying to be a righteous person based on themselves. The only true righteousness, like he says, it says, but that which is through faith in Christ. Did you catch that? It's the only way we gain any type of righteousness. And remember, we get credited righteousness. He makes clear the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. See how this works? It's the only way, the only path in that narrow path. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. A lot of us become Christians but still want to live life. Think about that. I still want to gain everything I can in my flesh. But can I still be a Christian? And they think they're accomplishing it. And that's where they're failing. I know it's hard. It is something we struggle with. But Christian values is exactly that. I value Christ and the things of Christ only. Nothing else comes ahead of that. And as I was saying earlier, in closing, we must understand these values are called Christian values because Christians are the one that value them, because only Christians will see the value in them. In no way and nowhere in the Bible does it say force our values on the world. No, a big part of our ministry is when they see us living for our values. In other words, I'll keep doing things based on what the Bible says, despite what they're doing. That's going to minister to them. Now, when I try to force it, nowhere did you see Jesus doing that. He said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, but give to God what is God. Nowhere did he say to force this on it. So that's why Christian values are for Christians. To the world, they are foolish and the world cannot accept them. He even warned us of this in this last passage. He says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, he says, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. Okay. So why? Because he doesn't have the Spirit. They are foolishness to them because he doesn't have the Spirit. He'll see some of the things that we say that you should do or should not do based on God's word. And he'll go, seriously? And where Christians are messing up is we start walking and talking based on not using the Spirit. We keep going off of emotion and intelligence and culture and ignorance. And then they become foolishness to us. That's why some of the things we read in the Bible, we're like, oh, that doesn't make sense. Because we're allowing our flesh to be the determining factor and not the Spirit. The Spirit goes, oh, that's the answer. Got it. The flesh goes, what? I don't get it. And why can't a person choose and do this? Without the Spirit, it makes very clear, and he cannot understand them. Did y'all catch that? Not only is he not, he cannot. So we're forcing something on them that they cannot see. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. What the Bible does show us is we minister in order for people to have access to spirituality so they may see this value. Don't be one of those who just uses a word and not realize the true meaning of it. This thing of Christian values is a real thing. But it should be the same from every Christian. when you start seeing the separation and us using it how we see fit, it's really us taking something sacred from God and turning it into ours, which in turn is corrupting it. I value the things of Christ only. You should do the same. Let us pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, we ask you for your forgiveness and for your continual guidance and your continual mercy and grace. Thank you so much for that, dear Lord. But we want to make sure our main focus and the only thing that matters in our life is you, and then apply everything in our lives through you. And you'll add the value to it. You'll add the treasure to it, and that we're dealing with it only based on you. We thank you so much just for your patience and for your love, but help us to have that urgency. Help us have that focus of faith and to stop being misled and led in the wrong way to what we want and not to what you say. We want to walk in your ways at all times, doing what you say only, giving you the glory at all times. Thank you so much for your love, for your kindness, and all that you do, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We say, amen.